Leviticus 25 and verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And I really love that verse. I've got a lot of favorite verses in the Bible, but that's in the top three, I guess, of all the verses that I enjoy. And what a great message we have from the Word of God, that it is God's will that we have liberty. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And I want to thank you for listening in today. We've got a very interesting subject. I'm going to look at something out of the book of Daniel, chapter number 7, and make a up-to-the-moment comparison with what the Bible says there and what is going on in the world today. You know, I just believe that the Bible, the Word of God, speaks to us right now today where we are. And the Bible says in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High." And that's what we're going to look at today. Shall wear out the saints of the Most High. I got to looking at that over the past weekend. We had the big snow, and most churches that I'm aware of didn't even have services last Sunday. And that's one of the things I was looking at and thinking about, what that means there. What does that mean? Shall wear out the saints of the Most High. How does that happen? That's what we're going to look at today. So I hope you'll continue to listen in for the next 30 minutes or so. And before we do that, I want to say good morning to everyone. And I want to say good morning to my son, Noah. He's here in the studio. Good morning, Noah. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. We do want to say welcome to our listeners. We appreciate them. Those who listen in right here on AM 1450 WATA in Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP in Bristol, Virginia. And those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, in Watertown, South Dakota.
Thank you, Noah. I appreciate that. And he's a great help to me doing the radio work and our other radio broadcast. I appreciate so much everything that Noah does to help me be able to do what I do. And he's going to be helping me out later on this afternoon, Lord willing. I've got a prophecy conference coming up, and I wanted to just mention that real quick before we get started today. This is beginning this coming Sunday night, February the 10th through the 13th. I'm going to be at the Midway Baptist Church, and that is with Pastor Greg Thompson. Midway is located in Butler. That's down around the Watauga Lake, just a few miles outside of Mountain City, Tennessee. And when I say a few miles, I'm going to say anywhere, I'm going to guess 10 to 15, maybe. I don't know. I don't go that way. I go the other way around most of the time. But anyway, we're going to be down there this coming Sunday night, February the 10th. And Sunday night, we're going to start at 6:30, and then Monday through Wednesday night, we're going to start at 7 p.m. and a prophecy conference. I'm looking forward to that. Been thinking about it, studying about it. If you'd like to have more information, you can call us. We're going to give the church phone number at the end of the radio broadcast, or you can call Pastor Greg Thompson, 1-423-895-9313. And Brother Greg's phone number, once again, 423-895-9313. And I'm excited about that and looking forward to being with the people down at Midway Baptist Church. We appreciate them so much. And one of the things that I would say about prophecy, and it goes right along with what we're going to look at today, if you want to know the future, you've got to know the past. If you want to know what the Bible says about prophecy, I believe it is impossible to understand the prophecies that we find in the Word of God without understanding some things about the past. So in order to look forward, you've got to look backward and see what the Bible says, the Word of God says. Well, that goes right along with what we're going to look at today. out of Daniel chapter number 7. That's where I'm going to start and just talk about some history. And we do a lot of that, and also what's going on in the world today. But Daniel chapter number 7, verse 25, part of that verse, I'm just going to read the first part of it. It says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High." Now, Daniel, the book of Daniel, especially chapter 7, chapter 8, 9, 10, 11, this is prophetic, and it concerns the rise of the Antichrist. I wish I had time to deal more thoroughly with this subject, but as I begin to study for the broadcast today, I could have spent all the time just dealing with the subject of the Antichrist. But if I could just give a quick summary of probably the great theme of the Bible. Now, the great theme of the Bible is redemption, but the reason that we must have redemption by and through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone is because of the fall. And a great part of the fall is the part that Satan played in that. Satan came, tempted Eve in the garden, Genesis chapter number 3. Why would Satan want to do that? Why would he want to cause all of mankind to fall? Well, what we are experiencing in our world today is actually the fallout or the carryover of a war that started in heaven probably before the earth was ever created to begin with, or at the very, very beginning of the creation. But we have in Isaiah chapter number 14, we have a description of what happened there in heaven. Now, Satan was originally called Lucifer, and Lucifer had a desire to be like the Most High God. There's many things we could say about Lucifer or the devil, but he was cast out of heaven. He had in his mind to be greater than God, to exalt his throne above the stars of God. I'm just going to read a few verses over there in Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 12. The Bible said, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit." And so Satan got in his mind that he would exalt himself above God Almighty, and God Almighty cast him down. We read in the book of Luke chapter number 10, verse 17, I believe it is, that Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And so we see that Lucifer or Satan was cast out of heaven, and there was a war started there. And this war has spilled over into this earth that we now live in. And so this is why things are the way they are in the world today. It all stems back to, or it all goes back to, that first confrontation when God cast Lucifer out of heaven because of his attempt to rise above or exalt his throne above the stars of God. And so Satan cast him out of heaven. And the theater for this war is this world that we live in. All across this world, there is a spiritual battle that is going on, this war of Satan against God. And all of human history and all of Bible history is a record of Satan's attempt to build a kingdom to overthrow the Lord God of heaven. And Satan uses people. He always uses a person, and he channels his power into a person, and this person gains or has great political and military strength. And there are many, many examples of this in the Bible and in history as well. We could go all the way back to the Tower of Babel. We could go all the way back to Genesis chapter 10 and Genesis chapter number 11, and you read about a man over there named Nimrod. And the Bible says about Nimrod. Now, Nimrod is the first great type of the Antichrist in the Bible. We could say that Cain is a type of the Antichrist, but Nimrod, in his government, in his ambitions, in his efforts, he is a type of the Antichrist, and he stirred up the people. He was the Bible says he was a mighty hunter before the Lord, which actually means that he was against God. And he stirred up the people and preached to the people and led the people. And they came together and they said, let's build a city and a tower that may reach unto the heavens. What he was saying there was, we don't need God. We will come together. We will build a tower unto heavens, and we won't need God anymore. And so Nimrod is a type of the Antichrist, and what the devil has tried to do all down through the millennial of time. The devil has tried to get a person and make that person the leader of the world and make all the nations of the world come and bow down and worship him. Nimrod tried to do that. Of course, God, he confounded their languages there. And I'm giving you a whole lot of history in just a little amount of time. He confounded their languages, and of course that was the end of the Tower of Babel, and they were confounded. They were spread abroad in the earth. And so that attempt of Satan to build a world government and unite all the peoples of the world under his rule, that was thwarted. And so Satan had to start over somewhere else. But it doesn't, that Satan always does this. That didn't work out with Nimrod. Then you look at human history and all the different leaders that have risen up. There was Pharaoh. The Pharaohs, actually, in Egypt. Egypt is, of course, you know about the pyramids, and you know about Moses, and you know about the people of God, and how that Moses delivered them by parting the Red Sea, and all of those things. But the Egyptian civilization, you talk about wearing out the people of God. Pharaoh did that very thing. Moses went down there. He said, let my people go. Here's one of the ways the devil wears out the saints of God. He just puts them off, and he just changes his mind. And Moses went down there and said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, okay, I'll let them go a day. I'll let them go 2 days. And then I won't let them go at all. And just putting them off and changing his mind and wearing them out. And of course we see the Lord victorious there, and Pharaoh drowned in the Red Sea, and that attempt of world power failed. And so the devil moves on to somebody else. You've got Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. You remember Nebuchadnezzar said, I'll build an idol and everybody come and worship. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we'll not bow down. He gathered all the nations, all of the provinces, all the people that he ruled over, and he said, we're all going to put aside our doctrinal differences. We're all going to bow down and worship this same God. Boy, if he could have united the religions of the world, there was nothing that could have stopped King Nebuchadnezzar. Of course, if you read in the Bible, you know God took away his mind, and Nebuchadnezzar went out into a field and eat grass like a beast, and so he failed. And there's the Nebuchadnezzars, there's Alexander the Great in Greece, there's the emperors of Rome and Antiochus Epiphanes, and he's the one that destroyed Jerusalem after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's in 70 AD. And he came into the temple of God and offered a swine there. And that's referred to, that was just an abomination there. He is a type of the Antichrist. But the emperors of Rome and their persecution against the Christians for hundreds and hundreds of years, and how that they tried to wear out the saints of God. And you've got all throughout the Dark Ages, different kings and emperors and dynasties, and Attila the Hun, and I mean, it's just one right after another, these dictators, these tyrants that try to take over the world. You've got Napoleon, you've got the Hitlers and the Mussolinis and the Pol Pots of this world. And one after another, different men that try to take over the world. And they have great political and military power, and they're tyrants, and they wear out the saints of God. Now, the pinnacle of all these failed attempts is going to come to pass in one person, once again, in the Antichrist. And of course, this is yet to take place in the future. Much we could say about that. But I will say this: Satan does not change his tactics. What he has done in the past, he will do in the future. He does the same thing over and over and over again. We could illustrate in these examples that I just mentioned, the Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar and Hitler and the Roman emperors, and over and over and over again, Satan tries to do the same things over and over and over again. And so this is how he operates. Daniel chapter 7 is prophetic. It's talking about the Antichrist. But the devil is not going to try something new. He's going to do the same things he's done in the past. He shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. That's 3.5 years. That's a reference to this specifically taking place during what we refer to as the Great Tribulation. But I'll say this today: there's many, many ways to wear out a people, but they all boil down to one thing, and that is Satan uses policy. He uses politics. Satan is the original politician. Now, I'm not saying that all politicians are of the devil, but the devil certainly uses policy. He uses politics. He uses bureaucracy. He uses these things to bring about his ultimate desire to have the world, the people of the world, under his dominion, under his power, worshiping him. Satan uses policy. Now, I'm not just saying that. I'm not trying to be derogatory towards our government or any government of the world. I'm dealing with the Bible, the Word of God, and this is what the Bible says. He shall wear out this. This is the context of what Daniel chapter 7 is teaching us about the Antichrist. He shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Now, how does he wear out the saints of the Most High? He does this, it goes on and it says in this verse, and think to change times and laws. The changing of laws, he uses this. And then if we go over in Daniel chapter number 8, I want to read verse 24 and 25 over there, what the Bible says. It's talking about the same context, but it says in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 24, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy, there's that word I just used, through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart. He thinks he's the best thing since sliced bread. He's narcissistic, talking about the Antichrist. He thinks he's God, and he proclaims, he will proclaim, if you study the Bible, that he's God. He'll sit in the temple as God and demand that the people of the world worship him. So he'll magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, but he shall be broken without hand. But it talks here about his tie, his laws. He's going to change laws. It talks here in Daniel chapter number 8 about his policies that he's going to use. He uses these things to wear down the people of God. And through his policy, now I noticed something this morning I'd never really noticed before, but that's the same root word that we get our word police from. I'm not throwing off on the police. I don't want anybody to get that impression, but through his policy, talking about the Antichrist, he establishes, he always does this, whether it's Nebuchadnezzar, whether it's the Roman emperors, whether it's Alexander the Great, whether it's Hitler, or whether it's the governments of the world today. Through their policies, left unchecked, they always establish a police state. His policies always establish a bureaucracy. Satan is not about freedom. God is about freedom. God says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Satan is about bondage. Satan is about taking away freedom. Satan does not want anybody, any people, to be free. So he is constantly attacking liberty. God is the author of liberty. Satan is the opposite to that, the anti to that. But through his policies, he always establishes a police state. Through his policies, he always establishes a bureaucracy and makes people where, instead of living free and thinking free, they become paper chasers. They become breakers of the law, because if you have so many laws that nobody can keep up with all the laws, then everyone is a lawbreaker. Everyone is guilty of breaking the law. And that's what bureaucracy does. It makes it impossible to live freely. And if you take this thought out to its logical conclusion, his policies always include penalties. Look in our society today. There's nowhere you can go that you don't see a all-encompassing handprint of the government. You look in your refrigerator, you're going to find the government has regulated that. You drive your car, you put gas in your car, you go to the bank, you go to the school. You go to the library and get a book. There's nothing that the government does not have its hands upon. Any example, I'd be interested to know what the government doesn't have their hand upon today. But the breaking of his policies always bring about penalties. There's always financial problems. The breaking of his policies eventually brings about persecution. The breaking of his policies eventually brings about prison. We could think about wearing out the saints of the Most High. Look in the Bible at all of God's people that's been put in prison by politicians, by policy. You could look at many examples. John the Baptist, Paul, Peter, John, on and on we could go and think about these things. The Old Testament, Nebuchadnezzar throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. Why did he do that? Because they broke his policy. They wouldn't go along with his false worship. The penalty was to be persecuted. They threw him into the fire. They put Daniel in the den of lions. On and on and on we could go. You could write a book on this subject about how the Satan's ministry of wearing out. I guess that'd be a good way to put it. Satan's ministry of wearing out the saints. And this morning I read again the Declaration of Independence. You know, I think everybody ought to read that 4, 5, 6 times a year and really understand what it's saying. But one of their many complaints concerned the king's laws, how that he was continually changing the laws to his advantage and making it harder on the people in the American colonies to obey the law. And many times they found themselves transgressors against the law and didn't even realize, and so they'd have to go and stand for themselves. And one of the phrases in the Declaration of Independence, this is how Satan wears out the saints. He uses politics. He uses policy to take away freedom. And this is one of the things that says in the Declaration of Independence about the king's laws. that he had established them for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. I thought, what were they saying? They were saying, he is wearing us out. He's wearing us out by changing these laws for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. You know why there's not more business in America than there is? Because to try to start and have a business in America, you will find yourself wore out, fatigued to death to do anything, basically. And other countries have more entrepreneurial, that's a hard word to say, freedom. And who would ever thought that it's easier to have business in other countries than it is in America? Our own laws are wearing us out, and much could be said about that. But King George, going back to that subject, he was continually establishing new laws and abolishing old laws. He did away with the English common law. If you read the Declaration of Independence, that had to do with their basic human rights. And so they leveled the charge against him. He is a tyrant. He's acting like a tyrant. Nobody can live by these laws. He would not listen to them. He wouldn't give them the time of day. And so finally they said, you know what, we've had enough. He's wore us out. And they declared themselves independent of the power and the authority of King George. Now, you think about what's going on in America today. And it can only be described as a wearing out of the people. Every day in America, it seems like we wake up to a new crisis, whether it's a physical cliff. We've got to raise the debt ceiling in order. You know, if we don't do this, my goodness, the government's going to shut down. People won't get their benefits, and et cetera, et cetera. And it wears people out. Immigration. You wake up one morning and the crisis of the day is immigration policy. We've got to do something now. This is the biggest thing that's going on. And you wake up another day and it's gun control. We've got to do something now. See, it's not one thing. It's many, many things. And all of these things on top of each other, revolving, rotating around, how wearisome it is to anybody that cares about what's going on in America. It's women in combat, homosexuals in the military, homosexuals in the Boy Scouts, health care, climate change, abortion, taxes, and on and on and on. And it wears people down. It is by design to wear us out. And when people are wore out, what happens is we say, I'm tired of all that. People get to the place, they say, I'm tired of all that. I don't even care anymore. I'm not keeping up anymore. Nothing I say, nothing I do makes any difference. And when people give up on our society, when people give up on the good things God has provided for us, well, Satan then has his way. As a Christian, as a American citizen, we have personal, spiritual, moral reasons to be the very best citizens that we can. That means being diligent concerning our rights, concerning our freedoms, and our ability and willingness to defend those freedoms. Are you wore out concerning these things? Don't be. Find refreshment in the Lord Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Most of all today, are you saved? Have you been born again? Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. That's the most important thing in your life. You can never have rest. You can never have peace and assurance of heaven. You know, if you're a child of God, you realize this earth is not your home. We're strangers and pilgrims, and we're passing through, and we have a better country to look for. But you know, we need to take care of the one we've got while we're here, and pray for our leaders and pray for one another. Well, thank you for listening. Our time is come and gone. Have a great day. And God bless you is our prayer.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.